Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. On March 27th, Rapid City enacted an ordinance that called for the closure of most city businesses to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus and help buy time for area healthcare workers to prepare for a surge in COVID-19 cases. It was one of the earliest and toughest set of restrictions in the state. Since March, Pennington County has 11 confirmed cases of the disease. 8 people have fully recovered, and the State Department of Health reports 367 negative tests in the county. Mayor Steve Allender says the projections have changed and hospitals have had time to prepare for a surge, so the time has come to consider what business might look like in the city in the days ahead. By contrast, by the way, in Minnehaha County, there are 1,636 people who have tested positive, 838 fully recovered, and 5,059 people have been tested and received negative tests. Kevin Wooster writes the blog, on the other hand, for SDPB, and you can find that online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Like so many of us, he has been navigating the world of grocery stores and sidewalks and the waterside rivers and lakes, and he finds that not everyone behaves the same way when it comes to protecting others from an extraordinarily contagious disease, and he's with us today on the phone. Kevin, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be back, and every day you get up and watch for the governor's briefing, and you expect 12 new cases in Pennington County, or 18 new cases in Lawrence County, or 30 new cases, and most days in Pennington County you get none, and some days you get one, and now it's up to what, 11? Is that what it was? I haven't seen today.
11 confirmed, 8 people have fully recovered, and with the one person who died early on, that would mean, if my math is correct, that there's one active case right now. Yesterday's negative test was at 355. Today is 367. So that also tells you that, 11 tests came back yesterday for Pennington County, which is not a large number of tests.
No, it's not a large number of tests. And you can wonder, is testing a part of it? The focus over east, that they're putting so much emphasis on the hot spot and those smaller surge areas that we've had. Is the isolation out here a factor? Is the fact that I think the city was really proactive in a lot of ways and working on their own here, and then plus the closure of the schools and the state tournaments and all that kind of stuff. And we don't have a packing plant anymore here. We used to have one in the middle of town. And who knows if we had one, if something had happened there, because it can go so fast within a closed environment like that. But what we wait for, I think most of us, it's almost like a storm that's been predicted, that, you keep looking at the western horizon and thinking, is something going to come up over the ridge here, and is it just going to drench us? And it doesn't. And so the question that I have is, and I think I touched that on the blog, it seems to me like when we lost a member of our community right away, and he wasn't here apparently when he contracted the virus, but lost that first death in South Dakota, was our person from Pennington County. And I think that was a shock to people, and I think there was a reaction there, noticeable reaction. And it seems like that is now faded a little bit in some areas. It almost comes and goes. I go to one spot and everybody's wearing gloves. Go back 2 weeks later, and half of them are wearing gloves, or none of them are. And that's kind of what I touched on here in this column, too.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about tourist season and the sunshine, and so much of the Black Hills economy being visitor-based. What happens? Is the storm on the horizon a very nice, spring and summer day, and people from all over the country who have been watching the news and have been told again and again that Governor Kristi Noem did not shut down South Dakota? They might not realize the nuances of that, but some of the reporting has been very broad-based about her refusal to issue a statewide shutdown order. They might not even know that the restaurants in Rapid City are currently not open. What happens in the days ahead, do you think?
Yeah, and on that, I like to say that I think some of the reporting, especially at the national level, has not been very fair in that regard.
It
was never explained. It was insinuated that we had this broad order that she didn't impose, and that because of that, we had a blow up at Smithfield. It wasn't said in those words, but I think the tone of the stories and the headlines you saw implied that. And there's no indication that's true, that it would have made any difference to the Smithfield infection. It may have slowed the spread outside the plant. I don't know if it would have. But I think the reporting on that, especially from the national crews, has been incomplete and unfair in a lot of ways. And because it didn't also touch on the fact of how low the rates are across South Dakota. It focused on this one hot spot as if, well, see, we told you, that's what happened. And I've been disappointed in my profession, at least parts of it in that, I think. The question that you raise and I raise, what comes next, is, you know, one that Sam Hurst and I, my friend Sam was a journalist and is my age group. And that I talk about us walking appropriately 12 feet apart or whatever on the boulevard the other day, talking about this situation and what does come next. Is there a surge out there waiting? When we had a bank that had a New York person in training and that person left with the disease and later tested positive for it, I think everybody thought, here we go. Then when we had a healthcare worker with it, I think everybody thought, here we go. And then up in the hills, some casino workers with it. And why hasn't it taken off? And that's what we were talking about today. And what comes next? And is there a danger that will let up a little bit and will help it take off? That's certainly a concern that I have.
Right. And it seems like an easy answer. Like, yes, if we let up. The science seems to be pretty clear that letting up can cause further outbreaks. And we were just talking, I don't know if you listened to Randy Bury, who's president of the Good Sam Society, and he talked about this. Yep. Good Samaritan Sioux Falls village. And when they had their first cases, they tested everybody. And even in a nursing home, a long-term care facility, they found that some of the senior citizens were positive and had no symptoms. So even a person who's at very high risk could be a carrier and have no symptoms of this.
Yeah.
367 tests is not really indicative of how far this has spread in the state or in the Black, in Pennington County specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, there's cases out here because I've somebody in my extended family that certainly had the symptoms that fit, but was young and not in distress and didn't get a test at that time. Another member of the family had maybe even lesser symptoms, but had been recently out of state to one of the states they worried about, got a test. It was negative. So I don't, did we miss one in the family that had it and others didn't get infected as far as we know? Or are there others carrying that we don't even know? And that's why every day we look at that horizon and say, has something been building up in there and it's just going to explode over and hit us, hard? And that's why I think there's a lot of talk about the discussion at the city level here about very slowly and carefully reopening. As Mayor Allender says, the way they've restricted it, a lot of the restaurants, for example, don't even want to try and reopen under those restrictions because they can't get enough people into the restaurant to be worth staffing it and ordering everything. So I don't know where we're going with that, but I do feel like Calendar and the city council have really worked hard to be responsible on this, and I know they take a lot of heat over it. And the big question you raised, Sam Hurst raised on his Facebook page, what about the tourist season? What is our plan at the state level? And so far, I'm not aware that there is one specifically. Does Sturgis get to decide if they have the rally, or does the state have to decide that somehow? Big issues coming up, and they're not that far away.
Right. Meanwhile, you have loved ones who are working in that emergency room in another city. Tell us a little bit about sort of feeling that relaxed, I'm here, I'm fishing, and then the phone call comes, and it's what you don't want to hear.
Yeah, and it's what I knew, you try and deny. There's a certain level of compartmentalization and denial, especially if you've got a son and a daughter-in-law in a major city with in a down inner city hospital, emergency room doctors, and it's been fairly quiet. This is Minnesota, and the governor's been very aggressive, and the people have been very aggressive about these things, and I think it's had an effect. It's been fairly quiet in Enar, but it's picking up. So that's always rests on your shoulders, and you kind of set it aside and do what I do, and we're lucky to live where we are out here, where I can get away by myself and forget everything. And then you send a text while you're having your lunch along the lake to your son and say, hey, how's it going? Just checking in. And the text is very brief, and it comes back and says, well, I just intubated a COVID patient. Too busy to talk much more than that. And I, then you know it all along, but you realize I'm fishing. My son's trying to save somebody's life. And that's going on all over the country, that disconnect. And it's a reminder, you know, of course, it's the dad, you say, be careful. Like, oh, really? You don't think you would know to be careful? And he comes back and says, jokes first, and then gets serious and says, no, no, double goggles, double gloves, the gown, you know, the double face masks, everything. Yeah, we take it when we intubate. Obviously, that's the crucial moment for infection for healthcare workers, one of them. And that changes the way you spend the rest of your afternoon fishing, just because it's a reminder of the reality that we set aside from time to time, which is it's here and it's real and it's dangerous and it's killing some people and not killing others, as you say, that are just walking around but maybe spreading it. We've got to continue to take it really seriously.
Yeah. On that note, this news just in from Seth Tupper, two South Dakota racetracks will not let fans in to see races this weekend. Park Jefferson International Speedway and the New Raceway Park say they will still hold races. However, spectators will not be able to watch the events in person at the racetracks near North Sioux City. Video feeds of the races will be available instead. The track had planned to sell hundreds of tickets for the Saturday and Sunday events, but both tracks came under pressure from the public and elected officials because of fears about fans spreading the coronavirus. Those tracks neighbor each other in the southeast corner of the state. So that news just in. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for being here today. We'll be thinking about your loved ones and in the emergency room as we sometimes can forget what's happening behind the scenes to keep people safe and save lives. We appreciate your time today.
And all those people are loved ones to somebody. So,
yeah.